I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars in a hotel room in Market Harborough.
Hello, welcome. I love this carpet.
We're in a premiere inn this week.
Purple Palais. Yeah. I absolutely love prems. I know we've said this before.
Yeah.
They're consistent.
We're paying full room rate. There's no favouritism. We're not being paid or getting any discount for plugging it. But yeah, you can't go wrong with a Premier Inn. The bed is clean and comfortable.
It is.
And the shower water pressure is
powerful. Good water pressure. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad about that.
It's all I really ask for in a hotel.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I mean, that's not true. I mean, obviously, if you went, oh, would you like to stay in, I don't know, Reeds of Madeira? That's the first posh hotel.
What's that holiday place that people like Mick Jagger always used to go to?
Mystique.
Yes, Mystique.
Mystique. No, they here we're coming down with the Mystique ladies.
Yeah, but they were there. They used to tour there. People got bored of them and sent them away. Just enough with your female rapping.
Please stop doing your late 90s, early 2000s shtick. So we're here in this hotel room, in the same room as each other, because it's the day after the second Late Break show live.
On tour.
So we're both a bit jaded, I think.
Very tough. We had a 10:30 curry last night.
It was a proper...
Very late trad curry.
I haven't been for a good late-on curry for ages, and it was a good curry.
It was.
And it was a proper curry place where the decor is old school, the music is
high-pitched,
traditional.
High-pitched frantic trumpet, and...
There was a slightly boisterous cricket team in the restaurant as well, and that's, you know, another sort of Czech late-night curry, some kind of sports team in there, causing a bit, not a lot of fuss. They weren't being obnoxious, they were just quite loud, and then I looked over, and for some reason, there was like loads of poppadom trampled on the floor where they were sitting. What have you been doing?
It's true.
But it was a good curry, and it was a good end to a really great day, I think.
I think I'm still processing all the information, frankly. It was a really wonderful day. A good amount of people turned up. An incredible array of cars turned up. Well, I say vehicles, actually, because we did have a tank. We did have two full-size trucks, one of which was a sort of Kenworth American one. We had the Black Series of Mercedes trucks turn up.
Yeah.
The Actros edition.
Did you get to sit in that?
I bloody didn't.
No, me neither.
No, I'm really annoyed.
Well, I'm quite cross generally that I didn't, because I was looking at social media this morning and all of the pictures that people who were there have been putting up, and I've been going, oh, bollocks, I didn't get to look at that car, or that car, or that, you know, it's just, there was so much nice stuff there. I did make it into the sort of second field where there were a load more cars. I did have a quick stroll around there with my brother who came down, and there's some good stuff, but I didn't get to sort of really dig into some of the treats that were there and talk to the people who brought them, because the people I did talk to, you know, there's lots of interesting cars with good stories.
Yeah, I did the same, but I think when you're sort of part of a show, when you organise a show, you're too ingrained in the fabric of it. You can't just walk around and do whatever you want.
No, we were there to do on stage, new stage, nice, bigger
new
stage.
Slightly larger, but not too pretentious. And
it was, I would say, if you were trying to imagine the size of stage, it would be where a well-known but aging beloved acoustic act might play at a music festival.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And you'd almost
actually
walk past, there'd be a bit of a crowd, but not a massive crowd, and you'd go, Oh, is it Ralph McTell?
Yes.
Ooh, is that?
Let me take you by the hand and walk around a car park full of cars and trucks.
Is that Tanita Tickerham? It is.
It is.
I used to like some of her stuff. Oh, she's really good, isn't she? That's the size of stage I think
we had. Tanita Tickerham, yeah.
So about, you know, the stage itself is about the height of a bed. Well, you know, for some stages, if you go into like the pyramid stage, it's like the height of... an industrial dustbin or something. I don't really know.
7.5-ton Luton body.
I'm using all of these well-known metrics. Oh, yes, about the height of an industrial dustbin, mate.
I didn't want to... I just desperately didn't want to disappoint people, so it's always one of those nerve-wracking moments where you think, I want to try and get such a good variety of cars that appeal to a lot of people. You can't change the weather. It is what it is. And the weather was kind to us to the point, again, where there was some unexpected sunburn.
Yeah.
But I think, I didn't drink enough water. I didn't have a wee all day.
That, to me, still is an troubling, astonishing fact. Probably my favourite fact from the day.
So I'm going to be selling some special Manuka honey at Clarkson's Farm in the next few weeks.
Johnny's old-time knob honey. Special dehydration blend. See, I almost wet myself a couple of times because I drank quite a lot of coffee when I arrived and then drank water through the day because I was conscious of hydrating. But then every time I tried to go to the loo, I would get talking to somebody and then would have to... And I think people started to think it was an excuse. So I'd be like, anyway, listen, I really need to go for a wee. And it sounds so...
It does sound like you're passing off the...
Or even though I kind of excused myself at one point from chatting to some people and I was walking to the loo and someone followed me. They were, excuse me, sorry, can I just... Because they want me to sign a book. And I was like, seriously, there's going to be a 50p on the front of my jeans. and I've got to go back up on stage in a minute and do some blather. And also I had this fear that I would finally get to the loo and I'd be in one of those little, port-a-loo things and I would hear you from the stage sort of going, just waiting
Where's
for Richard.
Richard?
Where is he?
Just waiting for him to have one of those really, poo of a thousand wipes that always happens when you're in a rush. You want a clean Phantom exit, but you don't get one. You get... Anyway, it's too much information. But anyway, but seriously, I want to say thank you to everyone who supported the show, who came and said hi, who wanted us, who brought us strange gifts. We got Stellantis bum bags with hologram stickers with bottles of brut inside. We got All Days and Onions decals, homemade ones, which are fantastic. I got some very interesting artwork. I got a new old stock Huggy Bear hairy seat cover for a 70s car. Which looks inflammable, so I'm making a point of not putting that anywhere near a hob. it's very heartwarming, especially given that the last 18 months the world's been topsy-turvy. So,
It's nice to see people again, isn't it? In a sunny outdoor setting with lots of cars. I think I said this last time we did the live show a few weeks ago, but it's just that sense of hanging out for a day with kind of like-minded people and just being able to chat about cars basically. And
just seeing exotic stuff next to weird regular stuff,
it's still the joy of what you've put together here, because credit to you, this is your brainchild. Is that yesterday is a case in point. We were just saying over breakfast, but it was like there's an MGSV there, and when do you ever see one of those?
No, I never see one on the road.
But then parked nearby there was an Aston DBS and a six wheel open top Mini.
Yes.
And then further down there's a Smoking the Bandit Trans Am and was it a Kenworth truck?
It was a Kenworth truck. Next to that was an electric converted classic Mini.
Yeah.
And then, that's the thing. And then Tolman brought along their amazing Sunbeam Lotus. The variety. And then we had Kia EV6 there, which isn't even out yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's your phone.
I have to answer my phone because I think it's a delivery driver wanting to pick up a Honda Civic.
Okay, you do that. Did you see that immaculate MG Metro in the second field?
Red. Was it red?
Yes.
I looked at it from afar. I was talking to someone else. It looked. Mint. Why red?
I mean, so mint.
Yeah.
It was so, so mint. And just...
You're excited. I can tell
you just don't see them anymore, do you? I mean, once upon a time, that would have not have been an exceptional or interesting car because they were everywhere. But now they're not. They take on that sort of intrigue. And but I do also quite like them. And I think at the time, they were sort of quite groovy, weren't they? It was a neat bit of design, the way they made the Metro more sporty. The same way those XR2s from that era actually looked quite good. You know, Ford knew what they were doing to jazz up a car. The XR3 was the same.
We had a Mark 1 XR2 there. The circular headlights.
Yeah.
Which is apparently worth, I don't know, £140,000 by the time that this
podcast
goes out.
If we check today's pound to folds exchange rate, we find that, or classic folds index.
Should we change the... the FTSE in the FTSE Dow
Jones? The FTSE index.
Tells
you how much old sporty Fords are worth in pounds. And,
if you sell before 4 p.m, you'll get £120,000 for this guy. So put it on eBay on a three-quarters of an hour auction.
Can you do that?
I don't know.
I'd love to do that.
You can do it. Buy it. You know, buy it now.
Speed eBay. putting it up.
Speed bay.
You've got 15 minutes. Go.
Speed bay. Go. Old Folds, 120 thou.
Yeah, you're old Folds. Well, yeah, that Fiesta.
Sort of old Folds. I'm going to have to...
I'm gonna
a bit of bruise. Yeah, Joe, we got gifted. Can you hear this? There's just a little bit left. I'm just going to neck it on.
Go on, pass it over to
Rich. Joe, I said to someone, I said, one of the
intrigues... Oh, shit.
you put loads on. One of the intrigues...
Oh, my God.
that was refreshing.
Cripes, it was, yes, but...
Oh, some burnt neck.
Yeah, well, it's, I'm a little bit red.
I feel
neck,
so fortunate that both of the Late Break Show live events so far have managed to been blessed with this unexpected sun, and for that I'm very thankful. But I held aloft a bottle of Brut to the sun when I think when the show had ended, not to the crowd or anything. This wasn't like some kind of like
you weren't christening people; you were anointing them with glasses of Brut in some kind of weird.
No, and I wasn't Adam, Prince of Eternia, holding aloft my magic sword and crying by the power of Grayskull. But I did. Just look at the colour of the Brut bottle when you hold it up to the sun. It's just a wonderful colour.
Sorry, I was just closing the window there because we're in a hotel that's on a roundabout by a major road, and there's a lot of activity out there.
There's a lot of motorcycle rinsing going on.
A lot of motorcycle rinsing going on. But also this morning I got woken up. There's a McDonald's drive-thru just that you can see from this window.
Yeah.
Someone was going through that drive-thru in...
Third gear?
Yeah. I think it was a minicab. Go. No, they were going through it first, but it was a car, and I was kind of intrigued enough to want to know, but still too tired to actually get up and look. It had a noisy exhaust on it, but to me it also sounded like it had a very light flywheel because it felt like they were struggling to keep the fire lit as they went around the little, because it was like a sort of...
Did it have a non-urban cam?
Oh, so, very much,
you know,
yeah.
Like, don't drive around, don't drive into a congested town or city because you just won't get out alone.
Do you fancy coming to downtown Tokyo with me? What, with my cams? God, no. No.
It's definitely an open road cam, yeah. not a village manoeuvre.
You came to London this week, and now I put my country cams in this week, so I can't. I'm actually got to just go to rural Scotland.
Can you imagine if you could switch them out that quickly?
Yeah, well, I mean...
You know, mind you.
I was going to say, it feels like technology should allow it. It sort of does, I suppose, with variable cam technology, but no one's going to bother to develop that now, are they, with the internal combustion engine sort of on death watch. But we can but dream.
But you know what, you say the internal combustion engines on Death Watch. It was very warming to meet a number of people yesterday who had both plug-in, both FEV daily drivers or EV daily drivers, and were worshipping a bit of sort of multiple cylinder, you know, V8, V12, V6 by the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, the internal combustion engine isn't on Death Watch in as much as, just because they are going to stop becoming available in new cars.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean people are going to stop enjoying them, but they just become a hobby, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is, I'm absolutely down with that, because quite honestly, you don't want to daily drive a 20, 30, 40, 50 year old car, do you? But you do want to enjoy it, and for things like what we did yesterday, and the fact that people brought out such an eclectic range of cars was really heartwarming, and the fact that so many people were just there, and that I think it drew a crowd who are as excited to see an immaculate MG Metro as they are, I don't know, that Ferrari GTO, for example, that you drove in your videos.
Yeah.
And so it's not...
And an Ioniq 5.
I think if you're coming to these shows, you're not someone who just goes, where are the supercars? I want to see the supercars. You want to just see things that are interesting. And that's a broad, broad church. And I think that's one of the great things about what happened yesterday and the previous live show, is that the church is broad as anything. It's really, really, really mixed.
Big thanks to my friend Kieran from Rockstars Cars, who brought his ex John Bonham from Led Zeppelin Jensen Interceptor hedge find, which he found in an Irish hedge. And he dressed it up with foliage on display. And a couple of people actually thought that it had been there all along, and that we built the show around a derelict Jensen that we found, which I thought was, which is credit to the shopfront dressing skills of Kieran. He did a special trip, especially in with just the foliage to bring it, because he'd snipped it all off his back bush, which sounds completely wrong, but you know what I mean. And thanks to Matt Walton, who brought the tank and the Kenworth and the Trans Am. Thanks to so many of you that I did call in some favours for some particularly unusual cars to try and get there. And And thanks to the manufacturers who brought what they brought, it were lovely. And it was good to just see smiles, fun, and japes.
Do you remember I read out an email or a message, Patreon message, a while ago from a chap who sold Robert Plant an XF, a Jag XF?
Yeah,
he was there yesterday.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, I got to meet him. He's a very nice chap. I got to meet a few people who'd sort of sent us good messages and things. And that in itself was quite a joy, just to sort of put... The best of all was that chap who sent us the story about buying the Escort with the two identical Sade albums.
Oh, yeah.
In the CD player.
Double Sade.
Showed up in motorcycle leathers that made him look like a futuristic robot.
Oh, yes. While we were on stage.
And then advanced towards us like he had been
B-side Terminator.
Yeah, I thought, this is it. For some reason, we need to be destroyed because of something we do in a different time. But he actually just gave us a gift. And the gift was two identical Sade albums.
But it was wrapped up in children's sort of party wrapping paper. You know, the diagonal stripe type thing with like the duvet covers from the 80s that we probably talked about. And yeah, we've got a copy of Diamond Life by Chardonnay. Sorry, I keep wanting to call it Chardonnay. Chardonnay. And I always said Diamond White Life, and I was thinking that's either a Ford colour or some quite cheap, aggressive
colour.
Cider, isn't it? Diamond Fight, as it was known as for many years. So I'm sure Chardonnay doesn't delve into the white cider aisle in the supermarket. She probably runs an RX-8 on it, though.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
She probably... You know, I bet you she's well into her biofuels.
Anyway, the chap's called Martin, isn't he? And he gave us the Sade albums.
Double Sade.
He identified himself as the person who told us that story and bought that Escort. And then I think he just left. So he really did have a courier. But he really did have kind of Terminator-like quality, because then I think he just... I didn't see him again.
No, I didn't.
I think he... And the last time I saw him, he was sort of moving towards the exit, so I think he just... He delivered two Sade CDs and he buggered off again.
Just for a second, I felt like Sarah or John Connor, you know, where someone's been sent from the future to basically warn you that in the future you say something significant or do something significant, which then changes the tapestry of history. Maybe one of us said something really profound. I think that's unlikely. Like, on that side of things. And everyone went, yeah, on that side of things and all that. And then suddenly someone had a really revolutionary idea for some software or hardware for robots. I'm just talking utter bobbins now. I don't know if you'll put this in the final letter. I just had to pause the podcast, run out to the hotel, drive down the road to the venue, and help a chap from Honda break into their original Civic press car without damaging it because the door locks stopped working with its own keys. I mean, seriously, what a load of bobbins. But luckily I've got the wrists of a dainty lady, and I managed to worm my wrists up through the back of the parcel shelf to unscrew the rear pop-out of the two-door. And then managed to get undo the door. So that's lovely.
It's, I think... people don't fully know the amount of work that you put into these shows, and that includes having to break into a car.
I did. It is stressful. I'm not a naturally organised person. So doing the sort of juggling to organise a show, and don't get me wrong, I'm not doing it on my own. I'm very much not. But it is quite stressful. It is. And you do have to take stock sometimes and go, this is supposed to be fun, remember? And it will be, ultimately. And if you build it, they will come. And they did come, and that's wonderful. And big shout out to Paul Cowland, who brought one of his cars along.
I've still never met Paul Cowland.
No, Paul really wants to meet you. And he was I think Paul was disappointed to meet me again and not meet you.
I don't want you, I want the other one this time. Yeah. I want to speak to him.
Maybe we could do a swap. Where is it when different countries swap prisoners?
You have to do it on a bridge, though, don't you? So
yeah, so you bring, I bring you, and Paul brings
with
Drew.
A bag over my head.
Paul brings Drew Pritchard from Salvage Hunters.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Classic car.
Where do they live, roughly?
Well, Paul lives in Nottinghamshire,
oh, okay,
and
yeah.
Drew lives in the middle of nowhere in North Wales.
Oh.
So, well, we could do it in Wales, on top of a barren hill.
No, I think, well, we could do it on the Menai Bridge, maybe.
Oh, we'll do it on the Menai Bridge.
It's a good bridge.
Yeah, because then the police will bring out a helicopter, so we'll get a good copter shot.
Yeah.
It's always good for the promo.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. There's
so if you're listening to this,
there's going to be a prisoner swap on the Menai Bridge
at
some
point. Yeah, let's do that. We'll do a personality ransom or whatever it is.
We could expand this out, and it's just something that happens that various TV shows do, prisoner swap style handovers between their presenting teams. So I don't know.
It's three full beam flashes, and you have to turn up in a car of a certain era. It's very specific.
Well, maybe that's it. It's all done between these various sort of restoration and resto modding shows. And the one week someone turns up and the high beams aren't actually working, and there's a whole sequence where they have to fix them. And it ends
in
up,
order
the
to do
from
the flashes.
Other side of the bridge come and help. And it sort of breaks the format a little bit, but it's quite good telly watching them all try and problem solve.
I'd love that.
Solve.
Trying to hit a relay for full beam on the middle of a bridge.
I was going to say, Mike Brewer turns up and hands over Ant Anstead, but Ant Anstead isn't doing Wheeler Dealers anymore, is he?
No.
Who's doing it now?
A chap called Elvis.
Oh.
Gosh, I can't remember his name. Oh, that's bad.
Well, because the problem is you say Elvis and your brain wants to say Presley, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like it's almost locked in, so not him.
Yeah, and weirdly, I watched when I watched the Back to the Future musical the other week with my son, for a year now delayed birthday present. We were sitting in bed in our hotel room, and I just wanted to watch a little bit of TV before bed, and it was a gift for him, you know, like a treat to stay up later.
Mm.
And there was nothing on apart from a documentary about the downfall of Elvis Presley.
Oh,
bearing in mind my son's nine. Like, I thought, this is probably not going to cut it, but there were so many interesting historical clips from him turning up in Vegas, and of course him with his Cadillacs and his aeroplanes and his wife and his, you know, his flamboyant lifestyle. Mm. My son was actually like, at first my son was, I don't know who Elvis Presley is, so I had to explain his significance. And then obviously 50s Elvis was just like perfect.
So cool.
I mean, so perfect. Just like the guy that guys want to be, the guy that women want, all that.
Well, you forget, don't you, that he was an incredibly handsome man.
Oh yeah,
in that era.
Yeah,
and we sort of sometimes you remember the bloated 70s version, but
yeah,
he was.
Like, he'd had way much too much boost put through him in the 70s, and you can just tell the heads were not being held down properly. And it was actually quite sad because they did touch on the fact that he was kind of a prisoner in Vegas, really, in his own hotel room. And
did he not also? He get quite into, he was sort of hooked on prescription painkillers and stuff.
Yeah.
And so probably didn't help.
He was in, I think he had multiple doctors or medics.
Yeah.
And they were all just going along with it. And
this is odd, isn't it? This happens to these people who become huge, but then they somehow get some kind of private doctor who starts just basically prescribing them all manner of...
Well, they dictate their menu. They go, right, I want today to have these disco biscuits, then I want these uppers, these downers, I want a couple of those.
Well, yeah, I suppose all manner of stuff was probably still legal then, like quaaludes and things, that he was just off his head, I imagine. Because did he not... I think at one point, wasn't he invited to the White House and Richard Nixon made him like an honorary drug enforcement officer or something, even though Elvis was technically on all manner of under the counter.
So 70s
stuff, I know.
I'm just going to say now, based upon what happened to Elvis, we're never doing a residency in Vegas. The Smith & Smith Vegas residency.
Don't turn down what you haven't yet got.
Well, as long as we get to have, I don't know, kale smoothies and we get to look after ourselves so we don't get bloaty and wearing too many rhinestones.
I was saying this to someone last week that, you know, I bust my knee and I don't want to go on about it, although I did endlessly yesterday because I was on my feet all day and it was hurting. But I've knackered my knee, so I can't go running and I can't really do anything. I can't even walk very far without it being painful. So I was saying to someone last week, do you know what, maybe I just should just give in and become really fat for a bit. Because I can't do exercise, so why don't I just then stop trying to eat decently and just...
Well, I wish I had that excuse. My legs are absolutely fine. I just haven't done anything for a while. I think what you should do is focus on the upper.
Become like incredibly massive.
Just only... Yeah. Do the one where the legs just look like matchsticks.
And then... So keep a picture of an ostrich pinned to the bathroom mirror. And just yeah. That's my goal. There we go.
You're just going to do chin-ups and press-ups.
Yeah, should I do that?
And dumbbells. So
it's more of a challenge, isn't it? Because I think becoming sort of slovenly by just eating. I think I could just live on macaroni, cheese and beer for a bit and see how fat I could become. But that's not a good idea, is it? It's not healthy.
It's difficult to get it back afterwards, yes, when you change, especially when you're over 40.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? It's the thing, you could do this in your 20s, like just then go, oh, next week I'm going to be thin again, bink. But yeah,
that's true, isn't it?
46, I can't do that. I'll just be fat for life. Which
funny you should say 20s, because when we were driving to the curry house last night, post-event curry house, which was obviously a lot later than we wanted to, we were driving in my wife's Jimny with my nephew Ethan in the back.
Thanks for driving, by the way.
That's all right.
Because I had 3 pints of Cobra in my... shall I just pile it on?
You do. I was like, three pints of Cobra.
I haven't had... There's a fabulous curry house out of the road from where I used to live, which, amazingly, the man who was running the curry house last night knew.
He did.
Knew that curry house because he used to live around there.
Yeah.
It's changed its name now, but it was called Bengal Bertie's in Highgate. It's fantastic curry there. And... But I used to go in there. We used to go there, my wife and I, before we had children. And I would know it was like there were about three or four things I would have off the menu. Well, three probably. I would rotate.
It's not
them.
Very Elvis rich. I thought there were 13 yeah, or so 13, things.
Yeah, well, no, I was in three dishes that were my favourites, and I would generally just have one of those three. There was a fourth, but I sort of phased it out. And I don't know why. I think there's a thing, particularly as a man. Sometimes there's that sort of annoying mannishness where men think, you have to have a really hot curry. You're not doing it right if you don't have a hot curry. I don't agree with that. I do like a hot curry, and last night I had a Madras because I like a Madras. That's about as hot as I would go. I think anything more than that, often, depending on who's made it,
yeah,
it's just heat. You're not getting much flavour, you're just getting heat.
It's danger.
Madras is about right for sort of heat versus flavour and everything in a good place. But I used to have the opposite end of the scale. I sometimes used to have a chicken passanda. Lovely and mild.
Oh, very mild.
Lovely and mild.
Yeah,
there's
passanda.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I just sort of stopped doing it. I don't know why. I think I found it a bit creamy.
I call VW Passats passanda.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah, I do. Because they're that kind of car. They are creamy, yeah,
creamy,
they're creamy
and mild.
And smooth. And they're just pleasant all round. Yeah, they're not aggressive in any way.
There's nothing wrong with it, but sometimes you need a little
They're more. A good all-rounder.
Yeah.
And that's the passanda.
But when we used to go in there, I always used to know that I was like, probably tonight I'm going to have, I think I'm going to have chicken tikka dansak. But I would always manage to fit in 2 pints of Kingfisher.
Oh.
Because you order one when you get there.
Yeah.
And that's probably done just as the food arrives. And you go, thanks very much. Yeah, that's my rice is mine. Can I have another?
Yeah.
Standard ordering technique. You don't actually say it. You just sort of indicate towards the glass and they know.
Or you look up towards where the guy who always answers the phone who does all the takeaways in the curry house. He's always next to the pumps, which are glistening.
Yeah.
Those lovely glistening pumps. And it's always Cobra versus Kingfisher. In fact, it always sounds like a famous boxing match that's going to be very well promoted. It's Kingfisher versus Cobra. And you go, who would win? Has the Kingfisher got an exceptionally sharp peck and it's also quick? The Cobra's going to be quick, but it's venomous and it can't fly.
Yeah, it's not clear cut, is it? I don't know.
No, but I did enjoy the curry. But on the way, the reason why it reminded me of this sort of in the older days, because when we were driving to find the curry house, we went the back lanes way because my mobile phone told me to and I was too tired. And we went down some really narrow, obscure lanes with full beam on.
Oh yeah.
And we were listening to some quite early 90s dance music on BBC Six Music. And it suddenly, I got a flashback of like the olden days when you were about 18 and you were going to a free party and of course pre-mobile phone navigation and all that stuff. So it was just, you were just going by one of your mate's hastily written notes. Or, I don't know, we were looking for landmarks that someone said, yeah, there'll be a grain silo and you've got to go down there. And it felt a bit exciting, but ultimately at the end, there was no glow sticks and dancing, it was just curry. And shouty cricketers.
And then on the way home, Six Music had really upped the tempo and it was a bit of drum and bass and it was quite intense. And I was feeling very full of Cobra and curry and quite tired, very tired in fact.
Very tired.
And I think I said to you, I right now, if you drop me, it was a live, I think they were live from somewhere, that was, it was a drum and bass night, and I was like, if you drop me into wherever this is now, this is happening, I can't think of anything worse. I would probably just have some kind of massive mental and physical breakdown and be found curled up in a ball.
I think you'd have a face, you'd sort of have a sort of screwed up face, because it would be bright, there'd be like some bright flashy lights. You'd have a screwed up face, a bit like Boris Yeltsin. Do you remember Boris Yeltsin's face? Yes. And you'd be, I mean, you'd be doing a sort of, you'd do a bit of dancing because you felt that everyone around you was, you didn't, you know, you don't want to, so you'd be sort of doing the knee jerk, but your knee would hurt.
Yeah, so actually I'd be hopping on one leg or so. I don't know. I mean, I just think I'd be found, I think I would use my one remaining bit of energy to scream, make it stop, so loudly it was audible over the music, and I'd probably just drop to the floor. I mean, I you know, that's the thing. What I was going to say is, because I always used to know when I used to go and sit in and have a curry more often, that I would have, you know, it's sort of, it's a two pints and a curry is about right. But last night I upped it. I was like,
you had one in my honour.
I suppose I did, yeah, because you were driving. So it was, yeah, I did. But then I did feel I had good sort of curry bloat.
I did as well.
Which is why the idea of them being somehow inexplicably dropped into a drum and bass night was nightmarish beyond belief. Thankfully, it didn't happen. Just went out to my hotel.
D&B curry. Amazing. Amazing.
Hang on, what are we talking there about? Because your nephew who helps out on these shows was saying he had a massive cooked breakfast this morning and then said he might go for a run. I think he was joking.
I think he
but
was
joking.
But
maybe not. He's young and he can
He's only just turned 17. I feel for him because he's... he's in this weird COVID delay of not being able to kind of get your driving lessons booked in as quickly as you want, and not being able to get a driving test booked in because there's such a huge, colossal backlog. So he's been 17 for a little while, and he can't properly drive. You know, he can't learn as much. So I'm tempted to buy him an MOT failure Focus, and a friend of mine who's a farmer might let him use a couple of concrete tracks around and just say, let's do some.
Let's get a bit of,
you know.
Well, I mean, or if you're feeling generous, get him a Focus with a bit of ticket left on it, and then maybe he can keep it going and it can be his car.
Well, you know, COVID secondhand car prices have got to be nuts. You know, a fairly ghetto Focus has suddenly gone from 700 quid to 1700 quid.
I had two conversations with people yesterday that bore out something I was told by a car trader earlier in the week, which is that, I think we know car prices have gone a bit nutty at the moment, but that if you're looking for a good price on a car that you just want to offload, then I was given this advice about my Porsche, of all things. Go to We Buy Any Car. They're making nuts payouts at the moment, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, because normally you think, oh God, they're just going to scalp you for a, you know, it'd be a low ball offer perhaps, but no, apparently. And this is a car trader told me this, and then two other people said, yeah, I put my car through We Buy Any Car, and they were offering more than...
Why? Have they been bankrolled by Camelot or something, and it's now like a sort of charitable thing?
Well, no, because they're part of... what's it? The auction people. So I think they're the pipeline now for the auctions, and the auctions are starved of...
Oh, yeah, because second-hand cars are not coming up as frequently.
Yeah, so and because the car trade is just generally sort of starved of stock and prices have gone crazy, it all knocks on. But We Buy Any Car is now the feeder
series
for auctions.
My gosh, imagine selling your 911 to We Buy Any Car. It just seems
feels dirty,
odd.
Doesn't it? I haven't checked it out yet, but I'd be intrigued to know what they would offer.
I haven't got anything good to sell, unfortunately, or anything bad.
Well, you see, yesterday didn't help me in my thoughts of getting an up GTI, because I seem to have about six conversations with
every single podcast. You mentioned a VW.
Just buy one and shut up.
A VW pissing up GTI.
I found one to the right spec as well, the spec I would like for sale at Anne Garage in, where is it? I can't remember. Wales, I think, is in Wrexham. So...
oh my gosh, I feel a road trip coming on.
Well, I was going to, I thought if I were really serious about this, and I would ring them up and just go, could you bring this car to me, please? Because they do say in their blurb, we deliver. But it's weird, isn't it, to get a car delivered?
I think part of the fun is to get the train there or get a mate to drop you off there. I quite like that.
Yeah, it's like I was saying to someone yesterday, I did
that
with my Range Rover. I got the train there and I was like, then because then if it's not right, I haven't paid for it yet.
Yeah.
I can just walk away. But I did only buy a single train ticket to go up north to get that car. So
you bought a single?
If it had been CAC, I would have walked away, but I would have had to probably spend the value of the car to get a train ticket back on the day. Because you know what happens when you do that?
A
million
they'll,
pounds.
They'll ruin you. Yeah.
Yeah, but thankfully it didn't come out that way. So, I don't know. I'm not going to mention up GTIs again until such a point as I've bought one.
Can you not? Yeah, please don't.
But What was it?
I should say the same about A2s. People are forcing A2s upon me, and I really want one. But I do. Yeah. But it has to be petrol. It has to be brown.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, it's because I want a black 5-door GTI. So that's why.
Stop it! You just
because I was offered a white 3-door last week for a really good price, but I was like.
Well, they look good in white.
No, it's not the white; it's the 3-door more because it'd be just 5-door would make it so much easier with the children.
With children, and but they do look better. But hey, blah blah.
Yeah, I like the shorter front doors for getting in and out in tight spaces.
Yeah, right. Yeah, whatever, mate.
Because I'm, particularly with my knee. Not that I'm going to mention my knee.
Yeah, you've mentioned the knee. This is just a tick, a checklist. Yes. What am I mentioning now? I've got to mention something now.
The dullard bingo. Has he mentioned the GTI? Yeah, he's done that. What about his knee?
He's done that.
Start going on about BL cars in a minute.
We did have a couple of supercars at the event. I know, because my channel, the YouTube channel, I don't feature a great deal of supercars. They tend to be obscure if they are, or maybe sort of a little bit out there. We did have the Spyker. Spyker C8 Laviolette.
Now, there's something you don't see every day.
Factory right-hand drive.
Yeah.
Of which there's something like 11 and a half ever made.
Yeah.
So a very rare groover.
I can't remember. Who's that guy who used to own Spyker?
I keep wanting to say Henrik Fisker, but it wasn't him.
No,
was it?
Müller. Was it Müller? Müller Fruit Corner.
Yeah, it was him.
And
how do you spell Fruit Corner?
Oh, it's got
Umlauts.
Lots of critics. So he once said we filmed a Spyker for the telly, and I think he came along, and TV's Jeremy Clarkson was testing it and found that it understeered quite a lot, and was set up like that. And he said to this guy, "It does understeer quite a lot." And this bloke just went, "Yeah, I know. That's deliberate because." The guys who buy these cars can't really drive very well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is like, how nice to be honest about that rather than go, yes, that telecoms billionaire is basically a young Jackie Stewart and we've made the car really twitchy and tail happy. No, admit, know your audience. Oh, it's very good. And you could, I think it was adjustable. You could have it.
Yes, you can. The front suspension on it's amazing. Mm. The steering and everything. I had a really good nose round one. I drove it. So it was good. It was really fun.
Mm.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that was a nice thing to see.
It were lovely. It were lovely. Oh, you lovely. Bastard. What?
I was just looking at things I wanted to talk to you about, and
I've not written anything down. And my brain's broken.
Well, no, there was something I was going to keep meaning to ask you for a couple of weeks now. I was going to say to you, just idle thought that popped into my head is whatever happened to Lee Noble? And then I found out yesterday.
Well, Matt Walton from
Jetstream. Lee Noble. This is he told me.
Well, Jetstream Motorsport is the UK's number one Noble looker afterer. Mm. So basically, everyone that has a Noble goes through him and gets stuff done because he helped to sort of develop the car in a way.
So I was just wondering.
What is Lee doing? Don't tell me he's got an Etsy shop and he's selling necklaces or something.
Sort of little clutch bags with beads on them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
When you say clutch bags, as you mean like a clutch for a gearbox?
Yeah. Keep a spare clutch.
Just what? No.
Because I thought there was a period when Lee Noble was, and his cars more specifically, were sort of the darlings of the car media, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to feature them quite regularly on Top Gear, and Evo often had a Noble in its pages, an auto car, you know.
It was a benchmarky car.
Well, they were sort of, they punched above their weight, didn't they? They were just, in terms of handling and performance, they were really extraordinary cars. And I remember going to their old factory in Leicestershire and sitting in Lee Noble's office where he just sort of sat there chain smoking and invited you to join him and you just chat about stuff for a bit and then he sold it, didn't he, and then he stayed on for a bit, left the company, and then he was supposed to be doing that thing called Fenix, which didn't seem to go anywhere, and then he was supposed to be doing some sort of like buggy thing that was sort of a bit like an aerial nomad-y type affair because it's slightly off-roady, and there was also some supercar in the works, and there's still a website with those things on it, but it's nothing seems to have happened.
Yeah.
And I just wondered what happened to Lee Noble, but your mate Matt, it came out that he knows Lee, and so I said, well, what's happened to Lee? And he went, he's around. And I went, is he all right? And he went, yeah, he's all right. We had a bit of a chat.
Isn't he a post office in a village or anything?
No, it's not like he's just got he's got a little cafe in a park, sells ice creams, teas, coffees, nothing complicated, toasties. He's apparently he's all right, but he's sort of tinkering around.
Wow. Well, the Noble's the classic example of a car that is exotic because it takes a fairly ordinary but decent engine, tunes it right, and then clothes it and sets it upright without needing to charge the earth. And when you drive one, you go, this is everything I would want from a performance car. But it isn't 300 grand.
Yeah, well, that's it. I just remember, it was the chassis, wasn't it? There was some sort of alchemy there. It was very... it was sort of lotusy in the way that it had a very, very lovely handling, and very precise, but it wasn't super stiff and aggressive. No. It was sort of beautifully balanced, and the ride was good. And yeah, they were just.
And I guess it's not pretentious.
Cars. No, but I suppose the problem ultimately for them is that people probably, a lot of people want badges, don't they?
Do.
They want a Ferrari. They want to be able to say they've got a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or whatever. And
they want a snake consuming a person.
Ah.
Which is one of the pub car quiz questions that you wrote for the live show.
Yeah.
It keeps tickling me. I keep looking at the badge going, there's so many scenarios there. Like, is it like the person has one of these giant pet snake people who have brought it up from when it was tiny? And then there's a symbiotic relationship where it allows them to climb into its mouth without consuming them.
That drives me nuts. Those people who have some kind of exotic pet, a lion or
they
a
hold
bear
open
or
a crocodile's mouth and tickle its tongue.
Yeah, my pet tiger. I've raised it since it was a cub. He completely understands me. Look, I'll put my head in its mouth. Look, he loves that. And then 2 weeks later, you find out the tiger mauled and killed him. And you just go, you fucking idiot. It's a live, wild animal. Why did you ever think it was your friend? It's not the tiger's fault. It's just programmed to
do
that. But yes, the question in the quiz was, which car badge depicts a man being eaten by a snake? Or, I mean, some people say it's a child escaping from a snake's mouth, perhaps.
Or it could be.
Symbolising rebirth. It's like, there's no definitive answer that I can ever find. But it's the Alfa Romeo.
Like a child chrysalis coming out of
I don't know. It's very odd. However way you frame it, it's an odd thing to have on a car badge.
It's so odd.
It's sort of very alpha in a way, because it's a bit nutty.
Talking of which, there's in the car park at this very Premier Inn.
Yeah.
Last night... There was a BBR edition MX-5.
Was there?
And it was really neat. I was having a look around it. And it had these Ferrari-type shields on the lower front wings.
Oh.
Aftermarket. Mm. And although it was like a sort of moniker of a Ferrari, it had the silhouette of a hairdryer. and I thought,
wow.
I thought, how inspired was it? Because I was looking at it from 10 feet away and I couldn't tell it was a hairdryer. I thought, interesting. And I thought maybe it was a BBR thing.
Mm.
I went closer and no, it was a piss take, basically self-deprecation. Yeah, it's a...
There's a Volvo V70 around my neck of the woods that's got what look like Ferrari shields on the front wings. But when you go closer, it's a prancing elk.
Is it?
Yeah,
brilliant.
And I thought...
That's quite good.
And otherwise it looks completely standard, this car. It's just a silver V70, old shape, but they've just put these shields on. They're quite small as well, so it's a nice touch. I enjoy it every time I walk past.
I would do that, I think, if I had a Volvo.
Yeah, I think so. I've got to decide where to put my All Days and Onions sticker that someone very kindly gave us yesterday.
I know.
Because you don't want to waste it, do you?
No. Funny how people remember that All Days and Onions.
I know, we only mentioned it once.
I think we only did.
In fact, it was the first time we ever did a recording in a hotel room when we were at Goodwood. But we've had a few people saying, why don't you do All Days and Onions merch? And it's a bit of a complicated one, because All Days and Onions is still, the trademark is still owned by somebody.
Yeah.
And they do make and sell t-shirts, so we can't just muscle in on that. We'd have to.
But don't buy them. Yeah. Because A, I'd rather you bought our merch, but B, what we're going to do is we're going to probably try and get the license off them, and
it's definitely
we might build our own
and chat. We have some new mugs this weekend as well.
Yes,
got Smith & Sniff Sports mugs.
Yes,
which are going. Oh, I think are going up on the eShop this week. But people were buying them at the live show yesterday, and we still got the Otsot mugs and things. And yeah,
it's actually a Sporty mug.
Sporty
mug, you dirty little, don't you touch my car.
Did I tell you that I was passed the other week by, I don't know if it was reminding me of it, by a Morris Minor, but as it went by I was like, because it pulled out of a junction as I was walking by, and I was ready for the whoomph, because I was like,
with the trombone.
Yeah. And no, because what happened next was there was a truncated sort of hurr, and then it slurred into the next gear and it was an automatic.
What?
I know. So
a minor auto.
Someone has made a minor auto, but what it did was it ruined the trombone. It was like someone had sort of shoved, you know, one of those muffler things into the end of a window.
A mute.
A jazz
trombone. They're called mutes.
Oh, okay.
Where you go, A bit like my favourite Fine Young Cannibals song. Is it Johnny Come Home?
Oh, yeah.
They have a very cool muted trumpet.
They do, don't they?
And that is, if you watch the music video, I'm pretty sure he has a little thingy on the end. But I like that song only because it mentions my name, but it's also, it is the best song they ever did.
Because does it lead you to believe that the Fine Young Cannibals are, in fact, sorry?
I'd love it. I'd love them to perform live at a future event. And every time they say my name, they all point at me. Won't you come on home? We'll worry. In fact, I'd like them to drive me in a minicab from the event to a curry house afterwards, and we could have an after party with nothing but Passandra and Brute.
Oh man!
Oh no, sorry, and Cobra.
And Cobra, yeah.
Or another beer. We're open to offers.
I once did a writing course, like a screenwriting course, and Roland Gift was one of the other people on it.
What?
Yeah, it's really weird. What? Roland Gift and the bloke who played Roy Cropper on Coronation Street.
What?
I know. It was quite strange.
Gosh.
I mean, there were a lot of other people. It was you know, sort of in a big
lecture. It just wasn't you three.
No, that would have been incredible. I don't know what we would have talked about, but everything and anything.
He's quite a distinctive chap, Roland.
Yeah, he was looking well. I mean, this was about 10 years ago, but he was looking very well, I suppose, as was Roy Cropper. But they, they were in the audience of this big screenwriting thing.
Johnny.
He didn't do any singing.
We're worried. Won't you come on?
He's got a very, how would you describe his voice? It's sort of...
If it was an engine, a car, what would it be?
Honey, we're worried.
It's quite sort of, almost sort of honking in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's more like a horn almost, isn't it?
If you watch the music video of that, which I think you should, because it's quite hard to not laugh at what the guitarist does. just see, it's as if it, while he's playing the guitar... Somebody tips ice cubes down the back of his trousers or something. And because he's busy with both hands, he can't do anything apart from frantically run forwards and backwards.
Maybe the guitarist is called Johnny.
Johnny, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You're smoking over gin and tonic down your trousers.
Yeah, somebody did just slosh a drink down the back of the trousers. He's like, I'm in the middle of recording. What are you doing? It's gone right into the gusset. I got ice cubes in the gusset. Can't get them out. It was something I was supposed to say on this cast. I can't bloody bastard remember.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think we're both exhausted, aren't we? I'll tell people what happened at the end of the curry last night when your tiredness suddenly came to pass.
Oh, don't you start.
Came to pass. You very kindly paid for the curry and they brought you the card machine. You put your card in it. You put in the first three numbers of your PIN, your finger hovered over the number pad, you simply couldn't remember the fourth number of your PIN, so you just gave up and pressed the tick in the hope that it would let you have a pass.
It might go.
Well, you got three out of four, mate. That's all right, yeah. But unsurprisingly, it didn't. But it was the way that you just sort of, you could see your brain just going, oh.
It was a very, my brain was just...
It was
misfiring. Actually, talking of misfiring, I did. About midnight before the show, I was putting a new coil on the Figaro because it was misfiring like an absolute Brian. And I was swearing at it because I was replacing it with the security light on our front drive. So I knew I had a window of about 2 minutes to do a thing
sort of
with it.
Flail your arms.
Yeah, around. And then but I had two hands on a bolt, because I didn't want to drop the bolt into gravel, because once you've dropped a bolt into gravel, it's cursed. And what I was doing a leg wave behind me. I don't know if anyone else has done this. The security light fettle is really quite... It's a shuffle. It's a security light shuffle.
Do the security light shuffle.
And you go like that. So you're either kicking a leg out or an arm out while holding onto a bolt. And I've actually... I've actually tried to clean a car by security light, and it's just a waste of time.
Or in the morning you realise it's all streaky.
There's a couple of triangles in really important spots, which you've just missed. And you just go, oh, you know what? It looks worse.
I did that. Not by security light, by street light, I think. I tried to clean a car because the next morning it was being photographed for a magazine thing, and I didn't then notice that the passenger side was an absolute disgrace. It was basically a huge parallelogram of dirt that I just totally missed. And the photographer, it was a really sunny morning as well. I did a couple of drive-bys, and then the photographer waved me over and went, "We're going to have to clean the car." And I went, "No, I cleaned it last night." And he went, "Come around here." And I was just like, that's a perfect, like, old style Fiat logo of dirt on the side. It wasn't even a Fiat. But have you ever been in a meeting in a modern office where they have a light sensitive or movement sensitive lights?
Yeah.
You're in the meeting room, and so there's a period of the meeting where everybody's a bit too still for some reason, and the lights all go off. Because then everybody suddenly starts looking like a demented seagull. Ah, jazz hands!
Everyone does, but yeah, like important meeting jazz hands. Yeah. No, I have had that.
A strange moment.
I think detailing by dark could become a new thing. It could be a great TV show.
Detailing in the dark.
Yeah.
Like dancing in the dark.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be just detailing.
Yeah. So you're allowed night vision goggles if you want, but they do.
Oh, are you? I don't know.
But night vision.
Well, maybe there's different rounds. There's the dusk detail.
Yes.
That's your starter.
Dusk detail.
Then you're allowed a night vision round.
Yeah. And then security light shuffle.
Security light shuffle.
But of course,
what about the strobe round?
Oh my gosh.
Warning, do not attempt if epileptic.
You'd be foaming at the mouth.
I think you might have.
Imagine a 2-hour detail under a strobe.
Well, I think that's the thing. You can't do a 2-hour detail. You've got to be as quick as you can, because otherwise your brain will collapse in on itself. But at the same time, it's strobing wildly. And then the finale is it's just pitch black.
Was it? So you're saying the Bruce Springsteen track could have been maybe we're just detailing in the dark.
Or one round, you're allowed a head torch with a very failing battery in it.
Oh, so it's like a yellow glow.
Yeah, you might as well hold a candle up for all it's worth.
Or a medieval lantern.
And as anyone, I don't know how people used to read in the ye olden days, because if you've ever suffered a power cut and gone, it's all right, I don't need to watch TV or use the internet or anything like that, I'll just read a book. And then you try and read by candlelight. It's bloody difficult.
Candles are rubbish. Of people set fire to themselves in bed. Because they put the paper of the book really close to the naked flame, and they also just happen to be wearing, I don't know, lots of linen and lots of bed materials. Basically, just set fire to the whole bedroom in 8 seconds.
Yeah, I once, because of a power cut, I think, had a candle going, and then I attempted to put it out, knocked it over, and my girlfriend at the time had some kind of like silk cardigan or blouse or something that was just lying nearby, and it got wax all over it. Wax doesn't come out of that.
No, it doesn't.
No. I know that now.
No, it looks like you've had a chip pan spillage, doesn't it, in a way?
It didn't. I don't remember it burning through. I just remember it making a terrible claggy mess.
And yeah, awful.
It was awful.
Wax is hard to get out.
Wax is a fucker, isn't it?
I sneezed into a candle in an expensive restaurant once. I was with somebody, and it didn't go down well, and it caused a real mess.
Did it cause a sort of
wax was such a snot. Fast sneeze that I didn't have time to put my hand up.
Oh!
And what happened was, the wet wax just got fired across the other person and a bit of me.
Fucking hell!
Yeah, it was a total mess.
An ambush sneeze.
Yeah, it was just awful because I couldn't get most of it out, and I think I had a jacket that I cherished on at the time that I couldn't wear again. There we go.
Sneezed into a candle in an expensive restaurant.
That's a Morrissey.
It is definitely
sneezed into a candle in expensive restaurant, sir.
It's a bit Jarvis Cocker as well, maybe. But.
We're quite far behind on probably listeners emailing into the show.
Sorry, if you can hear that, we are in a hotel and there's people walking by. I don't know what they're doing.
Collecting glasses.
It did sound like it was a glass collector.
It's a heavy drinker.
It's weird, there's not a bar on this floor, but someone's taken drinks back to their room.
Heavy drinkers gone back to their room a few times and they're now 26 glasses.
Have you ever got back to a hotel room really drunk and someone else has put their room service tray out because they've finished with it, but there's still food on it, and you've eaten the food?
I've tripped over a tray and realised I've basically got a load of Caesar salad on my food. Yeah. My shoes. And I've had
dressing on them.
I've trodden salad up the gangway for a bit and felt quite bad, but it was midnight and I just had to get to bed.
Yeah. So. My wife and I years ago, when we were giddy and young, got back to a hotel and may have had a couple of drinks, and we saw that the room opposite had left their breakfast order hanging on their door. And so we got it and we ticked everything.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Everything?
I know. It's a stupid prank because we never got to see the outcome. And the thing is...
And you'll never know.
Never know. And that's not really a good prank, is it? You want to see the outcome, but we just thought at the time it seemed funny. In retrospect, I feel a bit guilty because it's just a waste. But
you just reminded me on a school exchange trip to France once. I think when we were checking out of our youth hostel, I filled our coach exhaust with sachets of sugar. And because I was 12 and I thought it was fun.
Mm.
And I'm bearing in mind, a coach exhaust is of quite a girth, quite a diameter of an exhaust. So we used an enormous amount of sachets of sugar. And when the coach driver, obviously wearing a short sleeve shirt with a tie, he struck this coach up. It absolutely blunderbussed.
And did it?
A load of demerara. Yeah, like absolutely blunderbussed it out. And he thought he damaged the engine, so he shut it down and went round and propped open the back. Hadn't noticed that it was sugar, just looking in the engine bay. And when he'd done all the checks that he felt needed, started up again, looked back, and nothing had happened. He was like, oh, okay. Well, of course, me and my mates were all giggling with our Walkmans on, pretending that we hadn't seen or done anything, and got away with that.
You know the flaps that lift up on the side of coaches for the luggage compartment and stuff, and the engine as well. I'm quite fearful of those.
Well, walking into them, or
corners, sharp corners.
The corners are sharp.
Lose an eye.
Yeah,
and also I always feel like they're going to suddenly fall down and smash you.
I always think that coach drivers are surprisingly quick at loading and unloading very very heavy bags.
Yeah.
Despite a huge amount of inactivity whilst driving, because they're driving for a long way and they're just steering. It's not. I mean,
well, and obviously they might be paying attention as well.
They're paying attention, but then to get off and then go, do you want to lift two tons of luggage?
Yes, now I'm going to do a world's strongest man contest.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. True, actually, isn't it? They probably, in fact, maybe they're the kind of physique I should aspire to, because they don't do any running or much walking, but they do a lot of upper body.
It's all upper body.
Yeah.
All. And I'm sure the clutch isn't stiff on a modern coach.
Well, they're auto now, aren't they?
I suppose they are, yeah.
So you don't even have that, no. So your legs can probably go full ostrich, but incredibly big
flamingo
biceps and all the rest of it, because you're just picking up somebody's suitcase and lobbing it into the underbelly of a bus.
And you make a point of insisting that you unload everybody's luggage. No one's allowed to do it for
Why
themselves.
Is that?
Is it an insurance thing?
I don't know. Because have you ever done that? You go, can I just put that in there? No.
No.
No, you won't.
I think they want to do their own coach Tetris. They want to do the stowage Tetris.
But it also strikes me, and I'll be correct on this, but it feels like there's no skill to loading the luggage compartment of a coach, because they're chuffing massive. I mean...
Yeah, there's always room.
There's always room. There's no skill. It's not like you trying to get stuff in that van last night.
No.
Which really was Tetris, but it is... You could go, I bought a couple of anvils and a Zorb ball. I'm not deflated yet. That's why I'm not going there, mate.
In fact,
that's underneath of a bus.
You reminded me, a videographer who works on the YouTube channel with me. He's just had a sort of, he's going to say, a really early midlife crisis purchase. He's gone from a sensible, boring Skoda Estate to a Renault Sport Megane 270, is it up to?
Oh.
I'm trying to think. The cut with oil steering.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've driven one of those?
Yes.
Do you like it?
I quite liked it.
Did
yeah.
you? I've not driven. I drove the warm one, not the hot one.
Yeah.
Four wheel steering. I didn't like that four wheel steering.
It's urgent.
It's
four wheel steering.
Yeah.
But I mean, it flies, this thing. And he's well into it. He's bought the right colour. It's a Larry yellow.
Okay.
And, but yeah, it's wide. It's so wide track. You forget how wide track it is.
Yeah, that look. That's
someone's.
What was that? I don't
know. I can't actually see it. I mean, but anyway, I'm. Oh, bummer. Why was I saying this? What were we talking
about? He bought. We're talking about loading up coaches, but your videographer's bought. He's gone from sensible to a bit. Crazy.
He has. Yeah. Oh, why was it talk about loading up?
I don't know.
Oh, he did something really funny.
you are tired, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, he's the same one that we were doing the Kia EV6 shoot and the Pride and the lady, the bump start jazz lady.
Oh.
He was there.
But hey, have we said that the guy, we said the guy got in touch.
Yeah.
But then we haven't filled in the rest of that, which is that then you had a panic that you'd said this lady was divorced and you were worried that, in fact, that wasn't the case and you just misunderstood the situation. So I had to go back and mention to the guy, go, by the way, Johnny said your mum.
I was worried in case that, I don't know, the husband had died and she was, you know, very lonely widow.
Yeah.
And I just said, oh no, they got divorced. But that was the vibe I got.
Yeah.
And then he replied to say,
He said, oh yes, she's very much divorced. I'm surprised she didn't tell you more about it or something.
So I was like, oh, thank goodness for that.
You're in the clear with the bump start lady. But it's still a very uncanny thing that happened there with the bump start.
That was weird.
Yeah, we've had quite a few. We will, maybe next week we'll do listeners' messages, because we've had quite a few about bump starting, including several where people have relayed trying to push start a friend's car and the friend has had no success getting the engine turning. On about the fourth run, someone goes, have you got it in second? What? No, it's in neutral. Oh. Which I've had as well. I had with a mate once and it was just like, you absolute
flu.
Trouser tuber.
You, or what did we say this morning? A bacon tarpaulin. You absolute bacon tarpaulin. So that was good. I forgot to say, talking of bump starting, on the way back from the first Late Break Show Live in Kent, I had to bump start someone on the M25.
Oh,
did I tell you this?
No, you didn't. You said you were going to tell me about it and then you didn't.
Okay, so the M25 has come down to almost a standstill because of some sort of crash or something. And as we're approaching, we're in the Dodge. I've got the kids, Ethan, my nephew, boot full of stuff. I see this Fiesta on the side of the road, hazards on, three lads just standing by it. It was really hot weather. And as we crept along, we were going so slowly anyway, and my daughter was busting for a wee. So I said, well, we'll find somewhere to have a secret wee, as I call it, which is basically a hedge. Pulled in and just said to the lads, everything all right? She ran out for a secret wee. It was quite a wide lay-by area. And they went, it's balled over.
Mm.
I went, okay, how long ago? About an hour ago. They said, we've just left it because it was red hot. I said, good. And they didn't know anything about engines or cars or anything. I said, have you got any water? They went, no. He said, in fact, we've been here for an hour and a half. We're all really thirsty. Oh. We've had the most terrible weekend. I went, oh. We went away for a lad's camping trip and we all got terrible food poisoning.
Oh, my God.
And he said, when the car boiled over, realised none of us had any water for ourselves and we didn't have any water for the car. So thanks so much for stopping. I said, well, I've got 5 litres of antifreeze and I've got 2 litres of drinking water.
Obviously, get that down your neck.
Yeah, which
way round you decide.
Don't get them mixed up. Don't do that. And then once I'd filled up the coolant, because they didn't even know really where it was.
So you had to take the expansion cap off a hot engine.
I did, but luckily it had been off for an hour, but okay. I did put a cloth over it and look the other way, because I'd rather have a
that's
scar.
That's another thing that makes me fearful.
I'd rather have a scar on the back of my head than on the front of my head. So I did that and put this, gave it a bit of belly full of coolant. And then I said, right, start it up, let's see if it's okay. And of course, it was just click, click. And they went, oh, the battery's flat. And then one of them realised they'd accidentally left the radio on and the hazard warning lights. So they'd had.
Sorry, I was running a rotisserie chicken thing while we were stocked here.
Exactly.
I think that's how we got food poisoning.
I had 8 things on the USB charger simultaneously.
I bought this off Amazon. You could charge 100 USB devices at once.
So they were like, I said, I haven't got any jump leads. So like, so I said, all right, well, it's a manual. Let's just jump start it.
On the hard shoulder?
Let's bump start it. And they just looked at me and went, I don't know how you do that. They didn't even know what it was. Oh. Bless them. So I said, well, I've never done it on the M25. But there was that area, you know, where there's like a sort of lattice bit of concrete for where an emergency car can sit, like a police car can sit. There was one there.
Oh.
So I said, right, push me back. And it was
your Dodge in front of the Fiesta.
The Dodge in front. I said, push me as fast as you can towards my own car. And when I say go, let go.
Did you, because given the general state of these guys, did you think, I wonder what the brakes are like?
I did, because I looked at the car and thought, and it was a bit student-y spec.
How old was this car?
2006.
Okay.
And they were like, what? They were like, I said, trust me, has it got enough petrol in it? It went, yeah, it had like half a tank. Great. push me as far as you can towards my own car and then just step away. So I did it. And of course, yeah, foot flat on the gas. As soon as it took, knock it into neutral, job done. They thought I was Merlin. They thought this was alchemy. They were like, what? So you can just start a car by doing that? I went, yeah, as long as it's a manual, yes, you can. It's brilliant. I said, don't shut the car off. You've got enough fuel. The water's full. I gave them 2 litres of drinking water, which they just put on. Bless them, they looked hanging. And they were on their way. I still don't know to this day whether they made it home. I hope they did. And they don't think they were into cars whatsoever. They didn't reference once that a bloke in a really sinister Dodge Charger pulled in to help them, which is fine. But I think
if you hadn't had the kids with you, that might have taken on a different turn. If you're on your own, there's a chance they'd have gone, all right, okay.
Yeah, because he lifts the boot up of his car to get coolant out, and also just has a load of ratchet straps, kidnap tape.
An awful lot of tarpaulin in here for...
Yeah, plastic bags.
Gloves. Why?
There's a big jar which has chloroform on it. Apart from that, don't even know what.
No, it's not. Honestly, it's brute. It's fine. It's brute.
It's brute.
Actually, so much.
Brute would have the same effect. Just soak a hanky in it and put it around your mouth. Anyway, it was just really good. It was really good to save a more modern car with an old car.
Mm.
And my car behaved immaculately for the whole time. You know, even in the heavy traffic. So, another bump start story which nobody asked for.
No, well, we've got some on file from other people, so maybe we'll read some out next week. We should probably draw this to a close, not least because I need to go home. Otherwise, I could hang out all day in this Premier Inn.
Yeah.
But no, sadly.
I've got 3 cars to drive home.
Best of luck with that. Okay, so before we go, we have 3 things to tell you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show. Many excellent videos on that. There will be shortly a video of what we were doing yesterday at The Late Break Show live, and there will be another live show coming very soon. Two, I've got various books out. One of them is called A Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia, available exclusively on Amazon as a paperback or an ebook. And Boring Car Trivia 3 is going to be coming next month.
Wow, you said that so quickly.
Almost incomprehensibly. Yeah. So, what was the third thing I've got to tell you? Oh yeah, I only found this out this week and I feel a bit silly, so apologies if everyone else knew this, but Colonel Sanders was a real person.
Real colonel, though?
Yes, but not a military colonel. Colonel is an honorary award that's given to people, I think, people of the state of Kentucky.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was a colonel of Kentucky. I think it was Kentucky. It would make sense, wouldn't it, because it's Kentucky Fried Chicken. But, he wasn't a military colonel, but he was a real person. I thought he was just a promotional device invented by KFC.
Was Ronald McDonald?
I don't know.
Ronnie McDonald.
Ronnie McDonald, he was a real clown who just loved chips. I don't know. I honestly don't know. There's a fourth thing as well. We
chip-loving clown. Chip-loving clown. It's like badly drawn boy. It's the warm-up act for badly drawn boy. Chip-loving clown.
That was chip-loving clown, too, from them later. We've got merch. We've got t-shirts, we've got caps, we've got water bottles that Johnny is drinking.
I'm just drinking out
right now. Oh, you've got yours as a car perver one, I've got my Smith & Sniff one right here. And we have new Smith & Sniff Sport mugs, which made their debut at the live show yesterday. They will be on the e-shop very shortly. There's already OTSOP mugs there if you want one of those on that side of things.
We'll put a link in the description thing. Yeah.
Thank you ever so much for listening, and we will see you again next week.
We won't see any of you.
No, no.
We'll hear you.
You will hear us.
You'll just hear us.
Very one-sided. Listen to our voices. But you will see us again maybe next month because there's going to be another live show. Until then, you will only hear us. So thanks for that. I'm very confused.
And please watch my next Late Break Show video, which will be out at the same time as this podcast. And it's probably the best barn find I'm ever likely to find. Mm. And it's in a real barn.
Oh, it's that one.
Yeah, it's in a real barn, okay. And it's. Yeah. I'm going to use the word epic because I feel it's justified here. So yeah, take that and party.
There we go. Lots of information for you there to take home if you want to.
You're probably
as William Willard once said in the greatest Top Gear closing link ever, which I mentioned the live show. Yes, that's reminding me. I need to put a link to that on Twitter today. It's brilliant. Or I'll do it tomorrow. Keep it on. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. From a hotel room just near Market Harbour. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Johnny.